Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from PUC examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, D.C., Maryland, Virginia, points beyond, all around the world? Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan, GP out, Toby in. It's a seamless, all we did is change seats like we're on a massive losing streak for the Local 53. Joe Witt just moved from the booth right into that seat right there. We have a good radio program for you guys. We got a big preseason game tomorrow. We're talking about that. We are going to drag you all kicking and screaming into this football season. It's happening. It matters. We will break it all down 6 ways from Sunday. We'll talk to a couple local reporters about it. 3 o'clock hour, Beltway Blitz, your chance to win $100 in Fanatics fan cash coming up. We'll get you all covered, all caught up, everything you need to know about really the only dress rehearsal that's going to take place here this preseason, where it's tracking towards as many guys playing as possible for the Local 53. Before we get to that, Tobes, what say you?
It's good to be over here on this side of the glass. I guess if I'm going to be Joe Witt, then I'm going to do a poor job today. Am I going to get fired after this? Like, what's the plan after this?
Yeah, I didn't really think through my analogy. I felt bad. I'm DQ. I'm very comfortable, apparently.
I'm glad to be over here, though, and excited to hang out today.
It's going to be just fine and dandy. So let's get to it. Lions, just as a quick prognosis for them this year, you know they finished in last place in that division? They are set up to me to have one of those years. And what I mean is, when people say, oh, it's a last place team, you get a last place schedule, you know, a lot of times it varies year to year because there's so much fluctuation in the NFL. Teams that were good one year are bad the next, and vice versa. A team can be terrible, then go 12-5 and go to the NFC title game. Where have we seen that before? But this is how that happens a lot of times. Somebody that's pretty good all of a sudden has a schedule break right for them. So here's their schedule, just real quick. They have the Saints out of the gate. I actually like the Saints this year. I think the Saints are my sneaky favorite to win the NFC South, but that's a digression. They are not world beaters. You got to go to Buffalo. That's a challenge. But then listen to this. Panthers, Cardinals, some division games, Packers, Vikings, Dolphins, Patriots, Bucks, who are in all sorts of disarray, Bears, Falcons, Titans. These are a bunch of top five picking type teams, right? They're out of division schedule. It's the Giants. It's a lot of Dolphins. This is a group that is very well set up after rebuilding a little bit. Not rebuilding is the wrong word. Kind of retooling to be nasty again. As much as we talked about their regression, Tobes, on offense last year, they were top four in points, I think. They were top four or five in a lot of offensive categories. It's not as if they forgot how to play some football. They just had, I think, some of the regression, some of the bad luck. And yes, they miss the wonderkind Ben Johnson, but it's not as if they can't tie their shoes anymore. I love this test for Washington.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be good. You obviously are going to get a team that's very physical and is going to show that physicality in a preseason game. Dan Campbell has kind of made that a hallmark of his teams. They're going to play hard regardless if it's a preseason game, a meaningless regular season game, or into the postseason. They're going to play incredibly hard. And so I think this is going to be a good test for hopefully most of Washington starters getting out there. I'm excited to see Jaden Daniels get on the football field, you know, be able to get out there and run around if it's a series, two series, or whatever it may be. I think it's going to be good for Washington starters. And I think it's important just to go up against another team when you're learning two new schemes. But, you know, with Detroit, this is a team that was a juggernaut just a couple of seasons ago, had a down year. Like you said, they're probably going to pick it up again this season. But you know, you've still got some really good talent on that defensive side of the football when they're actually healthy. Aiden Hutchinson, Aleem McNeil slept on, Brian Branch, Kirby Joseph. Like, they've got really good players over there as well. So I think this is going to be a good test for them, and it's a team that's going to bring it. They always bring that intensity, so hopefully that brings it out of Washington as well. And going to be a good test for this team coming up tomorrow evening or tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, don't sleep on that fact. It's an afternoon game. So Amon Ross St. Reception, the PPR god. Yeah. He's been on every fantasy team I've had for a long time. He's wonderful. He is a great test for this secondary that's kind of having to patchwork a bit on the fly. Again, the Trey Amos updates are not good. I'm now officially concerned about that position. We'll get into that a little bit. But, you know about the test. You know about how good Jared Goff is. Yeah, if you move his feet, he's going to screw you in a big game. But if you don't, he will pick you apart. He is a praying mantis. He's a statue. And they've got weapons in Gibbs and Laporta. Penei Sewell is among the best players in the sport. Their first-round pick this year was Blake Miller, a right tackle, to shore up that offensive line just to kind of reinforce, you know, their identity. Isaac Tesla. I never say his name right, but Tesla. There's like so many A's on there.
Yeah, too many A's.
Tesla. Jameson Williams is as good a deep threat as there is. They are stacked on that side of the ball. I love this test for Washington's defense. And the way we've talked about Washington's defense, and we'll get into the specifics of the game here in a moment, but I think there's kind of a, what am I looking for here? A misplaced narrative to some degree, Tobes. Because the defense improved, that's a, well, we're all set. It's better defense. I don't think anybody doubts they'll be better than they've been. That's a dubious honor, by the way, because they've been next level atrocious, right, over the last couple of seasons, really last several seasons. Since the fraudulent 7-9, where they with Ron Rivera, where they beat a bunch of five backup quarterbacks, whatever it was, they'll be better, but how much better? I think that's a very fair question. They're going to be improved. Is it so improved that they're now a top 12 unit against a really difficult schedule with some really good quarterbacks and good offenses, or is it 19th? How much, you know? And I think we'll get a great, again, it's not going to be schemed up. It won't be the full preparation where you're doing everything you can to stop guys. You're trying to eval at the same time. But I do want to see against a good offense with really good personnel.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to see this defense because one of the questions I still have, you mentioned the DBs. I'm just curious to see if they can hold up in coverage against another team's unit. Like against Miami, it was, all right, whatever. It's Taj Washington. Who's their number one? Malik Washington? I don't even remember. It's like they don't have great receivers. And so the joint practice and in the game, it's not like they had a lot of standout performances. They marched right down the field, but a lot of that was on the ground, it felt like. And so for this team, I'm curious to see if they're going to be able to hold up on the back end. I think they're going to create pressure, and I think they're going to create pressure no matter what. Because if they're not getting pressure, they're just going to send two more guys. Like that's the way they're going to be about this defense this year. They understand that they're probably undermanned in the secondary, and so they're going to find ways to create pressure by whatever means necessary. And so I'm not as worried about that, but if you start sending a fifth, a sixth, a seventh guy potentially, then that means there's going to be less guys in coverage. Can you hold up? To their credit, watching them out in Ashburn every day, they have not allowed explosive plays. And to me, Danny, I was talking about this the other night.
Yep.
If you are sending an extra blitzer, trying to create havoc, and in turn that turns a 3-yard play into an 8-yard play, no big deal. But if it turns a 3-yard play into a 45-yard play, right, that's the issue. And I haven't seen that. So I'm hoping in this sort of a game, you can see like, all right, they're sound on the back end, and they're still going to find ways to create pressure.
So this is, by the way, gets to a larger trend in the NFL. And this is interesting. It's always a push and pull. So for a while, this was the defense. Now, again, there's nuances and there's different ways that Mike McDonald has evolved things, kind of the anti or like the Shanahan offense, kryptonite, that tree, et cetera, right, to deal with some of these bits of pressure and things like that. And now you get all the kind of this Durante Jones school, which, you know, I think is probably a hybrid of that, but it's that, you know, think of those mid-2000s Patriots teams with a bunch of no-names, but it's just a bunch of town hall defenders, like seven or eight guys milling around the football, three drop, four rush, five slide to the side. You have no idea which way's up. It's kind of a throwback to that. But remember, there was a while where passing was so prolific, right? Everybody was putting up 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns that finally the defensive coordinator said, screw this noise. We're not giving up big plays anymore. We know Patrick Mahomes is going to complete a million passes against us. We're going to make him be patient and complete eight or nine passes to get down the field against us. We are not giving up big strikes anymore. And everybody went back into the shell, and everybody said, you can complete it underneath. We'll wait for a screw-up, a penalty, a false start, a procedure thing, a botch snap, a sack, something to try to, you know, see if we can guess right. We are not going to break anymore. We will not be on the, you know, the Sports Center highlight. We're not going to be on the NFL Network's recap show. We're not going to have Chris Berman go, whoop, when there's a long pass and it's 7 yards and a touchdown and my guys are pointing each other like Josh Norman. I'm not doing that anymore. This is not that. This is not go back in a shell and give up some yards and being willing to do that. This is we're going to try to dictate to you, which is risk reward, right? And I'm okay with it because to me, I'm of the mind that whoever you are, offensively, defensively, whatever, you have to have an identity. And I know that's an old school football thing. It's football cowboy thing. And I'm supposed to smell like Skull Mint and yell at, 9-year-olds to get their base down and fire off.
Yeah.
But to me, the identity, what it means is I'm willing. Here, I'm Danny Ruggie. I'm a defense. I'm willing to give up some yards. I'm willing to give up the occasional big play. but I'm going to turn your ass over. I'm going to get, if I get three big plays a game, whatever they happen to be, a third down stop, a sack fumble, an interception where my guy's jumping the route, I'll live with that. I'd rather have the ball back to my offense anyway. So if the drive's over quickly, so be it. I'm going to take that risk-reward. Toby's defense might be, you know what? I'm not willing to give up any big plays ever. You're gonna hate watching me, but that 7 yard is complete. We'll have the Josh Norman Memorial cushion. Third and six, I'll back off seven, turn around, get your first down. If that's what you want to do, you'll be able to do it all up and down the field. But we are not getting beat deep. Different philosophies, different tenets. That's what I mean by identity, especially on defense. This identity is pressure. There's a risk to that if it gets blocked up.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. I mean, it's something that if it gets blocked up, and this is something I was talking about with one of the guys on the sideline at practice the other day. This is something where I'm curious to see. I think a majority of the time you're going to have the quarterback somewhat confused, just naturally, because I don't think sometimes I don't even know if they know what's going on. It feels like it's just literally chaos. Remember when VCU used to, with Shaka Smart, create the Havoc defense?
Oh, yeah, I do.
That's kind of what they're trying to do on the football field, where it's like this guy's dropping, this guy's coming. I mean, they had a couple of blitzes the other day where here comes Frankie Louvu blowing up a running back. Here comes Nick Cross. He would have got a sack on the quarterback. And not blocked because you had no idea where they're coming from. So that's going to happen. But what happens on the 1, 2, 3, 4 plays a game where you play, say you're playing a veteran quarterback like Jared Goff, and he goes, I've played Minnesota a bunch. This guy's coming. This guy's not. He's dropping. If I get this blocked up, I'm going to be able to hit this deep post to Jameson Williams. Well, he's going to be able to get the time there and all of a sudden lets it go. I don't mind if you, in turn, because you brought an extra blitzer, give up the 12-yard crosser to Amon-Ra. I can't have you giving up the 55-yard bomb to Jameson Williams. And so that's something I'm very interested to watch from what I've seen at camp. They've done a pretty good job of coverage on the back end and not giving up those explosive plays. I don't know if that's Washington's offense still is learning things or if that's their defense being good. So that's kind of the fun part is now you get to see it against a different opponent and you get to see. And obviously, like you said, this isn't schemed up. This isn't something that in reality is going to look exactly what it's going to look like in week one. But, you know, you've got some guys on this defense that I want to see make some plays. Like Sonny Styles, I think you go back to the first preseason game, it's only a drive. You've got some people saying he sucked. You got some people saying, oh, he's fantastic. It's probably somewhere in the middle, right? Like he was in the spots that he's supposed to be, but he didn't necessarily make any big-time plays. Well, you don't draft a off-ball linebacker at number 7 to just be there and just do your assignments. You need to be a difference maker. And so I'm not throwing ridiculous expectations on him in a second preseason game, but Dan Quinn even challenged him earlier in the preseason, saying like, dude, don't be afraid to do something because Leo Chanel can't do this or because Frankie Louvu can't do this. You can, so try it. Push the limits. That's what preseason, that's what training camp is for. Push the limits of what you can try to do. If you make a mistake, we'll correct it and realize, yeah, maybe we don't push that button. But you understand the limits of where you can go. So I'm excited to see that whole unit work together and see what are the limits of what they can try to do in terms of the pressure and different things and be able to still cover on the back end.
So we've got something I want to get to topic-wise to start the show. But Darrison Strobes, did you guys hear what Toby said? How we started that? I was talking to this guy at training camp. Toby's talking to other guys. I thought we were. You know what I'm saying? Who are you? Who?
I'm
who
sorry.
Were you talking to? Well,
I can't give away my sources.
Well, sorry doesn't untalk to the guy. Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, I thought we had our divine the relationship thing. That's weird.
I apologize.
Well, again, thank you for apologizing, but doesn't unhurt my feelings.
I didn't think you were going to answer my phone call at 9:30 in the morning. Wow. As I'm standing out there in Ashburn.
Well, first of all, I would. I definitely would. Second of all, no, it's all good. Here's what I want to talk about. 800-636-1067. We'll go around the room here. I got Strobes. I got Darris. I got Toby. I got me. And I want to have you. 800-636-1067. Pretty simple. It sounds like, again, barring something unforeseen, maybe, you know, pregame warmups happen. Someone doesn't feel great or whatever, but it looks like we're going to see a lot of people playing in this game. What do you want to see tomorrow? What would you like to see against a quality opponent? Again, we're not scheming it up, and they shouldn't, quite frankly. What are you looking for? What do you want to know? What do you hope to see? Like, it will be mission accomplished if, fill in the blank, they play this game tomorrow against the Detroit Lions, who, again, I think are going to be pretty good, and I've got them winning the division. That's my spoiler alert for when we do prognostications. But that's a tight division. That's all four teams are over 500, very competitive. It's good. I think Chicago goes back to the pack. And you could see four teams, like they just did this past year, with 9+ wins. Yeah. I like Detroit. I think they're good. Point is this. That's a quality opponent. I'm glad they're playing now and not for a game that counts. They got plenty of goals quality opponents in games that will count starting here in a few weeks. What do you want to see tomorrow? 800-636-1067. Tobes, we'll start with you.
I want to see the offensive execution because I've seen this team be able to go out there and look very, very efficient on offense in training camp, but that's against your own defense. I think they were clinical and surgical in the way that they went about attacking Miami's defense in the joint practice. I want to see it against another defense that, frankly, should be a little bit better than Miami's. I hate when we sometimes put the team in a no-win situation where it's like, if they would have sucked against Miami, you're like, we're spending hours on it and ringing all the alarm bells, but then they look good and you're like, yeah, nothing. You know, like I hate putting a team in that situation. But in essence, you don't want to make too big of a deal. Like, okay, they carved up Miami's defense. But I haven't seen them live in that intermediate part of the field, which I assumed that they would. I think when you talk about the passing game, you would think just naturally that it's a bootleg, play action, hit the dig route in behind. Think of what Brock Purdy's done for years with San Francisco. And so I want to see them do that sort of a thing, or even if they're just going to protect Jaden Daniels, frankly, just operate the offense, because we haven't seen David Blau calling a play into the helmet of Jaden Daniels, even for just a handoff, right? And I think Jaden has looked so comfortable in this offense. So just seeing it against a different opponent, knowing that it's live, as much as you can replicate football in a joint practice, it's still not live. Mm. Jaden Daniels is still wearing a non-contact jersey. You cannot hit him. You can hit him in this game. That's obviously something that is going to change your mindset, the way that you prepare. It just speeds everything up a little bit. So I'm just curious to see the execution of everything in their first time going through this in a real setting.
Locked on Strobes. What do you want to see tomorrow?
I'd like to see Sonny Styles fly around a little bit and make a couple plays. We've seen some of the footage in training camp and the reports where he has met Bill or whatever the running back was in the A-gap. I want to see it in this one, because against Miami, I think he was still getting his feet wet just a little bit. You saw him look good in coverage. He was able to move around in space pretty well, but I want to see some of that run stuffing stuff that we saw in his time at Ohio State, the first taste of that.
That was on my list as well, by the way. I know everybody can clip it and make fun of me. I want to see the thing. I want to see the reason, and Toby loves that one. I want to see the reason he went 7th overall. I said this, and this is, it's always, people conflate this. I'm not disappointed in Sonny Styles. I love Sonny Styles. I'm very excited that he's here. But if that's all we ever get is a kind of read and react a few yards down the field, a guy that makes some tackles, they make a million of that guy. That's not special. That's not number 7 overall worthy. Number 7 overall worthy is you can't take your eyes off him. Oh my God, look at this guy flying around the field making a difference. You can't even get a playoff because this guy has already figured out what's happening. Darius, what do you want to see tomorrow?
I can't imagine we'll see the number one offense on the field for more than 2 drives. Mm-hmm. But in those 2 drives, I need it to be more than what we got last year. Last year, they had the preseason game at home against the Bengals where they basically had 1 drive. They went down the field and they scored, but it was all rushing. I think there was a pass attempt, but Jaden didn't end up throwing it. He ended up running. I need to see the ball through the air a couple of times. I need to see just a couple of pass plays executed. So that way we know that our quarterback has the feel for it again in live action against other opponents, not just in scrimmages and training camps and joint practices. We need to see it on the field in a stadium in front of the thousands of people that will be there in Detroit this weekend.
12 p.m. kickoff, Washington, Detroit. What do you want to see? I had 4 things, but quite frankly, Strober stole one of them. He stole it. And that's ridiculous that he would steal it from me. And that's a kind of a version of what Darius said. But I'll give you mine next. You give me yours next as well. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. What do you want to see tomorrow? Preseason game number 2, the real dress rehearsal against Detroit. Plus, plenty more fun coming up. A whole bunch of milestones seem to be set against Washington franchises. We'll talk some football all day long here before preseason game number 2. Stay with us.
Hey, gang, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and we are going to move. We are going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Yet another milestone was set against a Washington, D.C. team. We'll tell you about it at 2:45. Right meow, 800-636-1067. The Foosball Gentlemen play a preseason game, a Larry Michaels Super Bowl against the Detroit Lions tomorrow. Thanks for laughing at that, Tilms. It's the dress rehearsal. Looks like a lot of starters, maybe all of them, as many are healthy, are going to play. What do you want to see? You guys gave your list. I want you guys on the phones as well at 800-636-1067. You touched on this one, Darius. I haven't been to practice. Most people haven't.
Yeah.
I want to see Daniels. I want to see the mastery. I want to see this second nature, instinctive comfort at this point in an NFL game. One of the things that is so fun and awesome to watch is how cool a customer he is. You guys have seen the quarterback, even guys with some experience, with those uncertain happy feet, with the I'm going to get destroyed, I don't look right, everybody's, you know, whether it's Patrick Ramsey or Carson Wentz and everyone in between. I mean, yeah, there's some guys that were, you know, a little too comfortable, be there Rex Grossman or Taylor Heineke or whatever, but there's just a grace and an ease that Daniels knows what he's doing. He knows what you're doing. He's going to laugh about it after the play, and he's going to be a killer during the play, and he's got it. You have an answer. He's got an even better answer. I want to see that, even if we're not running all the advanced stuff, even if we're not, you know, countering the counter to the counter to the counter, even if it's just firing off some basic things, he's under center. Most of us haven't gotten a look at it, right? The select few of folks that have been able to go to practice, folks in the media that have been out there have seen it. The regular rank and file, the peons like myself, I've not seen him under center, other than, you know, a handful of plays here and there throughout the last couple of years. I'm interested in that. I'd like to see what it looks like. I want to see him just doing Daniels things, just so I can bathe in the waters of Lake Minnetonka, just sort of feel comfortable about that. That's number one. Number two, this is probably my biggest one. The reports about this offensive line, the narrative about the offensive line, everybody that's got a ranking has a big number next to that name. Not a high ranking, but a big number. A 29, a 30, a 32, a 31, a 27. It ain't good right now. The vibe isn't good. Week one against the lowly Miami Dolphins, you didn't see a lot that inspired confidence. Mariota gets injured. You don't really have a great push up front. I want to see the first group, whoever's there, against Detroit's ones, ever trying to put food on the table, I want to see a push. I want to see a push in the run game most specifically. That's what I'm looking for, because the interior running, even in that joint practice against Miami, it was, they couldn't do that, but everything else was fun. You're going to have to do that at some point to set up some of the things they want to set up. I want to see an interior run push. I want to know, is Chris Paul winning? Is Julian Goodgrief winning? Is Sam Cosmi winning? I like Sam Cosmi. I think he will. But you know what I mean? How's Connerly doing? I want to see the push up front. Those are the first three things. First two things, rather. Thing number three is, again, this isn't going to be the full Durante Jones. He's not going full Durante, okay? And he should. I don't want anybody to know. I want week to week people to be like, what the hell are they going to do? That's what I want. But what you do get in the preseason, to some degree, is your guy versus my guy. Because everybody's kind of curious and wants to see that, to a degree, right? You're not going to expose Jared Goff to a million hits, or same thing you wouldn't think with Jaden Daniels. But there's going to be a chance for this revamped and new pass rush, which was anemic at times last year. You're going to get, presumably, Ke'Lavon Chaisson or Nadafe Owe or Charles Omenihu or, you know, a Blitz, maybe not your Blitz and Styles and Chenault, but you know what I mean? You're going to see some of these guys that are going to rush the passer for you get a chance to be one-on-one. And I don't expect you to show the entire toolkit, but I want to see some of that explosion. I want to see some of that get off. I want to see some of that. You could see during a game how this early, you know, Ryan Kerrigan, think of that stiff arm into the throat of a right tackle, is going to lead to either a power move and a rip or a counter or that Dwight Freeney spin or something. I'll be spotlighting that when they're on defense.
Yeah, so just off a couple of those. So I'm really interested in the run game. You mentioned that one with the interior O-line. I'm actually pretty confident in Brandon Coleman. He's not Laremy Tunsil. But
that's a good player.
Going from a top five player to a league average player, it's a massive dip. But I think you can make the argument going across their offensive line that you could get below league average play at potentially three of the positions. And so if that's the case, and I'm getting league average at left tackle, I'm not as worried about there. It does change things, but we can get into that another time. for left guard, obviously Chris Paul stepping in there, it sounded like Brandon Coleman might have won that job, which I still don't fully understand their approach last season, where they just moved off of Brandon Coleman so quick. I understand the injuries. I understand there were some growing pains and all that stuff, but I think Brandon Coleman can play. I think you'll see that again at left tackle, but that leaves Chris Paul at left guard again. You've got center problems. Even if Nick Allegretti is the starter there, I still don't feel great about that position. I think you can just read all of the rankings across national publications. Even if they assume Nick Allegretti, they're not even talking about Julian Gajones. They don't care that Nick Allegretti is the starting center. They still don't like it. Cosby, I think, is going to be good. But then Connerly is a question. But they have not been that impressive running the football. And I think that is a major part of their offense. So if you're going to struggle running the football, we're right back to where we were last year, where it's like, oh, Jaden has to play Superman again. Now it's going to be a different look of Superman. But if they can't run the football, that changes the play-action game. That changes everything they're trying to accomplish by being under center. So that is going to be a major part of the offense. And if they can't get push in a preseason game where you're not playing 70 plays, you're playing 12, maybe less, then that's concerning. And so I'd like to see some holes opened up, regardless of who's running behind them, if it's Bill, if it's somebody else, if he's a little dinged up from practice yesterday, whatever. I don't really care who the running back is. Just when I watch it, although there's a hole there, at least whoever's going to run the football, I can trust is going to be able to have some space to run. So, no, that's a really good point and something to watch against the Lions tomorrow.
800-636-1067. Let's start. Carlos, Severna Park, what do you want to see tomorrow in the game?
I just want to see a team that has a sense of urgency compared to what we saw last season. If you remember last season, they were resting starters. They were having a good training camp, but it didn't show on the field. I want to see that they've been raving it. They've been raving about it at this training camp. The players have been on fire. The players have been showing the sense of urgency. Because guess what? They're going up against two divisional opponents week one and week two. I dare them to start 0-2 these first 2 weeks. Because last season was not good enough for training camp. Go ahead, play these preseason games. Give it all you got. That's what I want to see. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Appreciate you, buddy. That's my word. The U word. Urgency.
Yeah.
I just want it. I haven't felt it. Now, again, you could speak better to it, you and Grant and a million of the other guys that have been out there every day, and I'm kind of going off of secondhand type things. Some people have graded it, oh, yeah, it's light and day from last year. Others have said, yeah, it's more, but it's still not a lot, if that makes any sense. That urgency, I need to feel it. I want to feel it. It's hard to explain, but you know it when you see it.
Well, and I think that's why this is a perfect opponent. There, you never have to question urgency right under Dan Campbell. They want to hit you coming off the bus. Like, they're ready to roll. So if you don't bring that same sort of urgency, then that's going to be a problem, and you might have more dudes on the injured list, right? Like, you have to play football at full speed, and the Detroit Lions are always going to do that, so that forces you to play at full speed too.
Indeed. I do. I'm with you. I think it's why this is such a good dress rehearsal opponent. But it's not just – it's like last year – I don't know how to explain it, but you guys all remember this, right? There was this – now, we felt this way as fans. I mean, I was kind of raising my hand going, I'm a little bit nervous about this. I didn't see 4-12 in meaningful games, winning a fifth with Josh Johnson when the Eagles rested everybody. I didn't think it was going to be that bad, but I didn't see a same repeat just because, right? But I think a lot of people did. And there wasn't much urgency. There was a, we'll be all right. Daniels is so good, we don't have to throw a pass in August. He's so good, nothing else matters. And again, yeah, I know he was hurt. I know everybody, a bunch of people were hurt, but a bunch of guys weren't. Frankie Louvu wasn't hurt, and he disappeared last year.
Yeah.
There's a lot of guys that were here that are still being counted upon who did diddly or squat. Javon Kinlaw played a million snaps, didn't have a sack. I understand that's not his role, is to have 10. He didn't have one. Yet he had as many tackles for loss as like a backup linebacker, right? Where was Deron Payne last year? There's a million guys that were here that are being counted upon then or being counted upon now that had nothing to do with injury. It's just, where was my performance? So it felt like, we're so good, it's just going to happen for us. And I think last year was that punch in the mouth where they had to do that thing where they got doubled over and they're bleeding and they touch their mouth and they go, And the other, now what are you going to do about it? You got punched. What's the response? And again, it doesn't mean you go full Spurrier Osaka, Japan on the Detroit Lions tomorrow, but I just want to feel like they get how unacceptable last year was instead of just going, just a fluke thing, man. Couple injuries and Jaden was hurt. Otherwise, we'll be fine. I want to feel that. I haven't yet. I'd love to see that tomorrow. I love that one. Dez in Waldorf, what do you want to see tomorrow?
What's up, man? What I want to see is I want to see Brandon Coleman shut everybody up, because everybody acting like we didn't go to the NFC Championship game, we didn't play in his left tackle. We got Laremy Tunsil because he was available, not because Brandon Coleman was a problem. But my biggest thing is with y'all and all the Redskins media that's been going on. Because basically, why has everybody been complaining about cornerback, but they, at the same breath, remind themselves that the D-line was terrible last year, our best player was Von Miller, and our best safety was Jeremy Reeves? If that's the situation, it don't matter. We got Devin Witherspoon. Your corner's going to be bad. They can't do with everything. Like, if you got the worst D-line and the worst safety group, what are we going to do? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, be bad everywhere, Dez, I think is the answer. But I don't know how that's my fault, but I appreciate the phone call.
No,
thanks
for
listening.
The thing is, they're going to play different coverages, different styles of defense this year, but I still am interested. Can Mikey Sammer still play inside? Can he play outside? I like Amik Robertson, but he's undersized, right? He's been someone that has had good moments throughout his career, but if you look at the numbers for last year, it was not great. Rasul Douglas has stood out, but he was a free agent, someone that you just picked up off the street not that long ago. So I like a lot of what they're working with back there. Doesn't really matter for me if I like them. I need them to be able to cover. So there are questions. I don't know how you can look at that secondary and say there aren't. I like the Nick Cross addition. I think he's going to have a massive impact. But it looks like Jeremy Reeves could be your starting second safety. Do you feel great about that? Like, I like Revo. I love what he can do in special teams. I like him filling in stints. There's also a reason he hasn't been a starter throughout his career on the defensive side of the football. Even though at short moments he might look fine, does it look fine for all 65, 70 plays on defense? So there are questions all throughout the secondary. They can shut us all up by playing well, and in that case we'll say, great, we'll tip the cap. But looking at it right now, objectively, you're like, I don't feel great about it.
Yeah, especially because Amos is constantly banged up, and he's through a very short career, hasn't played a ton just yet. That's a legit concern.
Yeah.
But, I mean, his point in general, again, I'm not sure what part of that was our fault. I missed that. But if the point is cornerback is dependent on a good pass rush and you know, good coverage underneath because you're out in an island to a degree, sure. Yeah, it's a little bit chicken or the egg. If you had Deion Sanders in his prime, then your pass rush is going to be a little bit better. If you have, Derek Stingley then or Christian Gonzalez, yeah, that's going to help everybody. Having really good players helps no matter where you put them on defense. But, yes, when you can't get any pass rush, and your linebackers are moving around like they're inside of a glacier, yes, I understand it's going to be tougher to cover, for sure. But at the same time, the plan was Marshawn Lattimore, Mikey Sanders still, well, not a great plan. So yeah, those guys weren't good either. I think all of it can be true, but it's good convo. Another milestone was set against DC Sports. That's next. Ben Standing joins us at 3. We have a lot of stuff to do. Don't leave.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
The 1-2. Got him swinging. DeGrom strikes out Ortiz. That's the 2,000th strikeout in his big league career. And a big moment for one of the game's greats.
From the only I'm going to care about this department, and Ben Standing joins us at 3. Welcome back. G&D here on the Fan. Tobes in for GP. Dave Johnson, it's there. Our guy calls Wizards games, calls, does some stuff with DC United as well. Sent like a good luck tweet for a player who I don't know very well. I don't know much DC United, apologies. Named Jacob Morrell is going to go play in Falkirk. And as soon as I saw that, I went, oh my God, that was the first stop on the Scotland and Northern England soccer tour my son and I got to go on. I guess it was last year that we did that.
Last year.
All the days kind of run together. But Falkirk was the first place we went, and it was awesome. Like this mid-sized club, middle of the Scottish League. They're just fighting for their lives, just trying to, you know, not get relegated or whatever. And number one thing to note, the home stand for like the number for the high-level supporters is called the Kevin McAllister stand. That's a Home Alone reference. Everyone should go, okay, that's the team we're rooting for now. Their chants and cheers were awesome. I just showed Tobes a video. Now, I didn't want it to be like obvious I was taking a video of a kid, right? Because that's like not, that's weird. I'm in a foreign country. I don't want to alienate anybody.
Yeah.
But I'm like, hey, look at the atmosphere. Look around. Look what's happening. It's literally about this kid who's 8 years old, probably 7 or 8 years old. The fans, where we were, okay, in the section we were in, there's an empty section that's filled with nothing but police officers who are on duty. Then it's the visitor section for Dundee United. All right? And again, they're separated by yards and officers of the law. Bobbies, what they call them, right? And they got their batons and everything like that, okay? So a goal gets scored. And it's not like, yay us. It's immediately. Immediately, the guys in our section that care a lot turn to those opposing fans, and there are birds flipped.
Mm-hmm.
And that seven-year-old, double barrel right away, use the corresponding language as well. Not to say like, hey, are you aware that I have these two fingers and I'm showing them to you?
Yep.
But it was all the things that you would say, Scottish insults to go with it, and it was great. So Jacob Murrell is going to go play there. And I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. I was there and I saw it. I didn't get to sit in the Kevin McAllister stand, but I got to see that place.
Well, enjoy. That'll be was really cool that you got to experience that. I can't wait. I'm hoping.
Amazing.
I'm still trying to figure out if there's any soccer games. I don't think there are. I think it's an international break when the Commanders play in London. But I'd love to go watch a soccer game.
Just strike out from there. I'm telling you, and we'll get to the point of our topic here in a second. If your son or daughter is doing one of these soccer clubs where they offer a trip, take the trip. I know it's a lot of money. I'm telling you it is. It was a lot of money for us. It's a lot of money for everybody involved. The way they do it over there is so much better than the version that we would do over here. So imagine like a few folks from Northern London are like, I'd like to do an American baseball tour. It'd be delightful. Let's go and see a few stadiums and some big league clubs. Won't it be grand? We'll eat a ballpark, Frank, together. Lots of fun, right? It would be some like teenage schlub being like, oh, over here, this is what's called a bullpen, right? Here, the dudes that were running the tour were like part of the Manchester United youth club. So in other words, like the way they do it at the academy. So they're like, right, it's this bloke here, this 9-year-old, he's quite skilled. Let's get him involved then with Manchester United. And we'll, you know, bring him up, probably sell him off to some rival club, make a bunch of money off it. Isn't that right? So they do the same stuff the senior club does. So the senior coach, the manager, the gaffer, is doing his bit. The 18U team, the 20U team, whatever, all the way down to like the, so these, this one guy was the 16U coach, one guy was the 15U coach. These dudes are like hooked in.
Oh yeah.
So when one of them calls and goes, would it be possible for us to get 45 tickets to a culture game tonight? They go, right away, sir. How do you 40? Would you like them on the field? Next thing you know, our kids are on the field holding the damn Celtic flags before the game.
That's awesome.
And they're singing the song, like, we are the Celtic, you are not, and we hit your dumb face. Go Rangers, or whatever the thing. And it was the coolest thing ever. The point is, that experience, priceless. It's like those stupid commercials about things that are priceless.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it was. That's the greatest thing I've ever gotten to do. And my kid loved it. So take the trip, even if it, not if it bankrupts you, that's probably too much. But if it's just above
even
that.
Even if it's close.
Yeah. If it's borderline, if you could pay rent the next month, you do it.
That's awesome.
Anyway, so that got me on that thing. And as I said, no one's going to care about that. Back to us. Ben Standing joins us in 10 minutes. Here's the point of the dude's story. Unceremoniously last night, not a lot of buildup. Rangers fans are still getting their ballpark Frank. And right as they sat down, Jacob DeGrom had just gotten his 2,000th strikeout.
Insane.
He needed two. He got two straight away. Again, he has an ERA with numbers. I'll never understand how. I don't know how anyone hits that guy. He is so filthy.
Disgusting.
When he's like when he's like he was last night, you could have a brick wall and you're not making contact. You could there's nothing you could do. When a slider's going 92 miles an hour and is at the bottom of the zone that he's already dotted seven times with 99 as a fastball, it's all over with. There's nothing anyone can do.
This is the highest his ERA has ever been in a season, by the way. 3.77, and by a significant margin.
He has a career 2 ERA against us. I don't know how. It doesn't make sense. I've never seen him get up a running.
It's an integer, which is insane. When he's right, he's the nastiest SOB still ever.
Yeah.
Now, he hadn't been right a bunch. He's always hurt. We know the story, but still 2,000 strikeouts, 2,000 strikeouts. That's a big deal. He did that so casually, so effortlessly. Here's the thing. I noticed this last night. I don't know if anybody else is feeling this. It feels like we're on the business end a lot in DC sports.
A lot.
Of milestones. Here's a few that I rattled off, if you're ready. Not that far removed. Remember some guy named Bam Adebayo? That's 83 points. That was 83 points. You'll never guess who it was against.
Don't remind me.
Mike Becsick served up just a hanging puss ball to Barry Bonds, who hit it 10 miles. Mike Becsick, God bless, big leaguer, bit of a job and career. He's here to eat a couple innings for in middle relief for a team that's okay and chew bubble gum, and he's fresh out of bubble tape. Albert Pujols against Taylor Jordan. Fun fact about Taylor Jordan, I actually said into a microphone, and I'll deny it if you bring it up to me in person, I like Taylor Jordan. I think he's a number four starter on a big league club. I said that out loud.
So you're a big Taylor Jordan guy?
I was a big Taylor Jordan guy.
Are you still?
Strober, don't you clip that. Don't you do it, Strobes. Show me your hands. Get away from that keyboard. Okay. Anyway.
What about his career? I mean, I guess it's not terrible.
His career is terrible.
4.48 ERA.
Actually, it's better than I thought. I liked his changeup. I thought it tunneled well with his fastball. Nobody's ever been more hittable than Taylor Jordan. I liked him, okay? I like Taylor Jordan, all right? God, you guys are jerks. Anyway, Pujols, 499 and 500 at Nats Park. DeGrom, 2,000 last night, I mentioned. A lot of these are against the Nats, but bear with me.
Yeah.
Grant and I, courtesy of our pal Christian at Brennan's, and if you're in New Orleans, you go to Brennan's. It's what one does. I got a great picture.
Not the Brennan's.
I got a great picture of pregame of our guy Nick Sundberg snapping. And they're wearing those yellow pants, I think. And I was like, look at that handsome gent with those haunches, right? It was right in front of us, just kept bending over and firing those snaps. Tressler Way was kicking bombs, I think. Anyhoodles, Drew Brees set a passing record in about 8 seconds. And he went for 403 touchdowns and a 40-million-2 win. The first play on offense for Washington, Alex Smith damn near got Adrian Peterson assassinated on a little dump off with a defender right in the guy's face, and it blew him up. And two plays in for New Orleans, it was a long touchdown pass, and they were off to the races. People set records against us, and that's annoying. That's what I got, Tobes.
Yeah, so that Redskins game was 43-19 Saints victory. Drew Brees on the night only needed, I think, like 35 yards. Well, he blew well past that. 26 of 29 for 363, three touchdowns. 153.2 passer rating. That do anything for you?
It did something to us. The food was great, is what I'll tell you.
I remember watching that game, and I was so sick of it, because I understand that it's a record-breaking performance. I believe that was Monday Night Football. I understand why it's on the broadcast. I get all those things. But even when Washington had the football, they're still somehow shoehorning in Drew Brees. I'm like, can we just talk about the Burgundy and Gold for a second tonight and pretend like there's two teams playing,
but
not just number
really.
Nine for the Saints? But no, they just talked about Drew Brees all night.
You remember the story that I ate four bread puddings? That night. That
four?
That are meant for a whole table full of people. Each bread pudding is supposed to serve four. And I ate four bread puddings.
16 servings?
I did. And the chef, the sous chef, the sommelier, and the dessert chef all came out to see the porky oddity. They came out to see the disgusting wild beast that had eaten four bread puddings. That was me, by the way.
Here's another random fact from this game. Drew Brees had a reception for a yard. I don't know how this happened.
Was it a batted pass?
I have no idea. But apparently Drew Brees caught a pass that night.
Yeah, he Bugs Bunnied it just for fun. They were doing whatever they felt like. Ben Standing joins us next.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together, we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one.
So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast. Reality Gaze,
let's love.